National Mobilization should present to the people what is happening within the ministry, and we are here this morning to do such. And if you would allow me a little time, I would be as concise and precise as possible. And we would deal today with matters pertaining to the ministry and its approach to the relief and recovery efforts post-volcanic eruption April 9th, 2021. Now, the Ministry of National Mobilization, Social Development, the Family, Gender, Youth Affairs, Persons with Disability, Cooperatives, Community Development, Housing, and Informal Human Settlement is quite an extensive ministry and is far-reaching. And in the relief and recovery efforts, pre and post the explosive eruption of Las Ofrer, every division within the ministry has been continuously playing a pivotal role as we rise from the ashes. Firstly, I want to thank the Almighty God for his never-ending grace and mercies that kept us throughout this difficult period. And although we have experienced one of our worst volcanic eruptions this country has ever seen, we still have much to be thankful and grateful for. Because throughout this whole ordeal, we didn't have any severe injury or loss of life to any individual as a result. It is no secret that the explosive eruption of Las Ofrer on April 9, 2021 significantly increased our social vulnerability within this nation, as mentioned by the peers. And due to this increase, the ministry had to introduce some very important 30 days of the eruption. Some of these measures that were implemented were the establishment of a national data and call center to collect information on displaced and affected households. We also, through the ministry, developed a national evacuation placement registry to identify displaced families, temporary placement location, where they came from, their migration patterns, as well as their needs. The ministry also established a distribution and repackaging center to provide food packages for displaced families in private homes and some in hotel and apartments that were not provided with cooked meals by that accommodation. Other basic amenities were also provided to displaced families in shelters. The ministry also developed and implemented a need assessment tool to map the needs and services required for the folks who are displaced, some who are still in private homes as well. We are still working with them. And finally, we established a national psychosocial framework with state and non-state agencies, focusing mainly on a coordinated approach to address the trauma and psychosocial needs of displaced families. Through the mechanisms that I mentioned, we were able to provide the necessary aids and support to the displaced families from the red and orange zones. From the data captured through analysis of the National Evacuation Placement Registry, we were able to identify that approximately 5,083 families, or approximately 19,319 persons, evacuated their homes due to the eruption. Whether from the directly impacted zone or some of the zones outside, which are the green and yellow. The captured data was also able to provide us with critical information with regards to the number of displaced families in private homes, and also families from the evacuated zones who did not evacuate. Because throughout the evacuation, what happened is that some folks decided to remain in the red and orange zones. So we had to capture this data through our national data registry, and this was done in collaboration with NEMO and the Ministry of National Mobilization. The database, when we established it, it had some shortcomings, and it was in no way perfect. We realized that there were errors, some incomplete and sometimes inaccurate information, and also some duplications. However, with the continuous updating and cleaning of the database, we were able to reduce significantly many of these issues, as well as capture some of the people who may have fallen through the cracks in the registration process. So the database, essentially, it captured a lot of the information, but it had to be a rolling database in order for us to capture those persons who had information that was incomplete. You know, some of them were inaccurate as well. Although a deadline was given to be registered with the National Registry at the data center at NEMO, which was supposed to be done on May 31st, so there was a deadline given on May 31st, we still continued through the ministry headquarters to provide assistance for displaced persons who didn't register by the stipulated time. With the information provided through the registration process, the database established by the Ministry of National Mobilization was immediately ready to assist in the emergency response by providing food packages to displaced families on a bi-weekly basis. And I want to touch a bit on the food packages that was distributed through the ministry for a short time. To date, the government through this ministry has distributed over 25,000 food packages, or what we call the mobilization box. And this was primarily concentrated to folks displaced in private homes. And we also added to the private homes folks who are returning, because as we are aware, there are some folks who have moved back into the zones, and we had to provide food packages for them when they were returning home. Now, what is the cost of all this in terms of the money? And it is important for us to highlight this. For the approximately 25,000 packages that we distributed, there's a cost attached to it of $6.6 million. And in addition to these food packages, or what we call the mobilization box, the government purchased over about 15,000 what we call the RRT boxes, and this was at the cost of $2.2 million. So far, just between these two food packages, we are at approximately $8 to $9 million between all these packages, totaling approximately about 40,000 food packages. It must be noted that these food packages were not only given to displaced persons from the red and orange zones, but a special effort was made in helping our vulnerable population throughout St. Vincent and the Grenadines, as they too were experiencing a difficult time. So we have to make sure that we cushion our vulnerable population as well. So the government partnered with various NGOs within the country to help with the distribution process. And some of the beneficiaries included persons with disabilities, various boys and girls' homes across the island, the National AIDS Secretariat, our elderly population, and also our marginalized folks. So we made a special effort to make sure that we also provide the necessary support and food packages to this aspect of our population. The Ministry of National Mobilization, with the responsibility for social protection of our vulnerable, has taken on the mammoth task to support displaced families affected by the volcanic eruption. And we did this while we simultaneously addressed the needs of the poor and the indigent in our existing, with our existing clients. So while our community development officers were out delivering food packages to the various communities, all the other divisions within the ministry was still functioning in order to meet the needs of our existing clientele, the folks that comes to the ministry to get help. Another important undertaking of the ministry was the establishment of the Suffering Relief Grant Program. And this was established to be run during the period of May to December 2021. And this was to provide cash transfer to support the displaced families. Using a need assessment survey tool, the ministry was able to establish and provide financial support monthly to affected families from the evacuated zones, where their average household income is below $1,000 per month. The Suffering Relief Grant, it targeted 80% of the displaced households, whether they were in shelters, private homes, in hotel accommodation, during the period of June to September. And this was done in collaboration with World Food Program through a Western Union money transfer. And for the remaining 20% who didn't fit in this threshold, we provided food packages or vouchers for that remaining 20% who had an average higher income in their household. Presently, the ministry is in the process of introducing the Suffering Relief Grant Phase 2. And this will be focusing on family life education and client empowerment support for 500 households from the red zone. And this will be done in this month, and this will be also be done in collaboration with UNICEF. So we have to provide some family life education and some client empowerment support for some folks also in the red zone, and this is part of the Suffering Grant Relief Phase 2. The supplementary budget of 2021, with the approval and allocation of $2 million, this was given to the ministry to help to continue the Suffering Relief Grant Phase 2 to displaced families in the red and orange zone. And this would be done through further income support and or food packages or vouchers to displaced families for the period August to December 2021. Now, the further income support, because we have mentioned, you may have heard the Prime Minister mention from time to time, that there would be income support for non-farmers, but there's a certain criteria that gives you access to this form of income support. And I think Mercer could elaborate on that a little more but presently we have already given out the forms. So persons can register for this income support, the non-farmers income support. And there is a requirement for it, where you have to be from the red or orange zone. You had a little small business, whether it's a block making business, a little hair salon, and you were affected because of the eruption. But the process must be verified. So there is a verification process by your employer. So if you were working in a block maker, for example, and you receive one of those non-farmers income support form, it first must be verified by your employer that yes, John Jones was working with me up until the eruption of La Soufre, and there must be a second piece of verification by a justice of peace within the area to say, well, yes, I certify that he was indeed working with the block maker up until the point of the eruption. So there's some further income support that would be coming to folks in the red and orange zone. The ministry took some time to strengthen its family support grant component of the public assistance program. And this was done through by providing cash transfer and client empowerment through the family life education, as I mentioned before. And UNICEF is playing a big part in this whole initiative to strengthen our family support grant component within the ministry as it relates to our public assistance program. We also will strengthen our existing public assistance program within the ministry by reviewing the outcomes of the support system that we are running so far. And once we review these, we would see the areas where we can improve on, or what we can do to make sure that we support certain persons who miss some form of support through our public assistance program. So we have to do a review, which is part of strengthening our family support grant after the initial period ends in October. So for September to December, we would put forward a new proposal as to the outcomes of that review. Now, the ministry has done and will continue to do tremendous work through various psychosocial support measures. And some of the works carried out includes the ministry through the Social Protection, Child Development and Gender Development Division responded to and continue to respond as crisis intervention measures to social issues that are present, that has present themselves within families with who are in the shelters. We have to make a tremendous effort to help those folks through Social Protection, Child Development, and Gender Development Division. You heard the Permanent Secretary mention the Return to Happiness, which was done by the Child Development Division, and this targeted, this had an outreach of about 71 shelters between the period of April to May 2021. And initial assessment and crisis intervention were conducted for families, and this was done both in private homes and also in shelters. Also, the Child Development Division has partnered with several key actors, as mentioned before by Piers de Freitas. We worked with the Ministry of Education, we've worked with the Ministry of Health, we're still working with them. And UNICEF, Red Cross, IsraAid, all these are organizations that we've worked with and continue to work with within this period. And they were instrumental in implementing the child-friendly spaces, or what we call the safe spaces. And they went around and set up all these child-friendly spaces in the various shelters. And the objective of the CSF, the child-friendly spaces, is to restore a sense of normality and continuity to children whose lives have been disrupted following the displacement caused by the eruption of Lasofrere. Also, on psychosocial support, we conducted parenting workshops and child abuse awareness campaigns in shelters. And this was done again by Child Development between the period of June to July. And this aspect of the parenting workshop and child abuse awareness will be completed at the end of this month in August. And also within the ministry, the Gender Development did their part as to the psychosocial support, where they conducted domestic violence awareness sessions in shelters and in partnership with UN, with UN agencies. And they went from shelters providing dignity kits, as well as conducting a gender-based assessment. And we have to thank all of the divisions within the ministry for the tremendous work that they have done thus far, and I know that they will continue to do this work, because I would say at this point it was not an easy task, with all the various ministries within the various divisions within the ministry, for all of them to come together to make sure that we accomplish the task that we set out to accomplish, which was to provide the necessary support to the folks who are displaced or elderly or vulnerable or poor or marginalized during this difficult period. We also, through the Ministry of National Mobilization, provide financial assistance for displaced families. Prior to the eruption, the ministry provided families within the red zone from a minimum of a total population of 4,342 persons, or an equivalent of 1,110 households. We provide to our public assistance program financial assistance in the tune of $1.8 million. And this was done before the evacuation to our regular programs within the ministry. However, after the eruption, the World Food Program, which is a UN agency focuses on providing emergency response to increase food access and quality of life due to internal risk, internal or external shocks. They came to our assistance, and we were pleased to have partnered with them in an effort to prioritize for displaced families through the establishment of the National La Sofre Grant Program. We also worked and received financial assistance from ADRA, the Adventist Development and Relief Agency. They came to our assistance and provided cash for folks who are displaced, who didn't meet the threshold for the WFP program. And also Caritas. Caritas did some tremendous work here as well in assisting with cash and financial support. And also the Red Cross must be mentioned, because they also came in to assist the ministry. Because at one point we had about 64 or so families who were missing from the various form of cash assistance. And Red Cross came and helped out and was able to support the 64 families who didn't receive any support from whether WFP, ADRA or Caritas. To date, a commitment of over $8.4 million in cash has been allotted, and a total of $2.6 million has been expended thus far. And this is to aid it in the relief effort. And I'm talking here about cash. The La Sofre Relief Grant Program. To qualify for this program, there was a minimum cash transfer of $300, and that went up to as much as $800 on a monthly basis. And where displaced families were not eligible for the cash transfer support, we were able to provide them with food packages and food vouchers. And that helped in assisting those families. Now, the journey has just begun. We have successfully provided payments for approximately 3,538 displaced households. And we will continue our support and relief effort. And not only did we concentrate on private homes, but there were also 589 families staying in public shelters who received cash transfers as well. And to date, the government, in collaboration with donor agencies through this ministry, has committed 15 $1,081,900 to socially protecting displaced families affected by the eruption, and thus far we have expended a total of approximately $10 million as detailed earlier with the calculation of the various supports. I also finally want to touch on housing, the relief and recovery effort in housing, because this is what a lot of folks are waiting to hear, what is happening with the housing relief and recovery effort. Now, in the supplementary estimate of 2021, the Parliament approved $11.5 million to help with the housing reconstruction and rehabilitation. To break this down, $5 million was allocated to actual reconstruction and another $6.5 million to the purchasing of building materials for repairs to homes affected by the volcanic eruptions and floods. Thus far, the government has ordered $6.5 million worth of building materials, $3.9 million locally, and $2.6 million from a regional supplier. And as we speak right now, the local suppliers are currently supplying our Annisville storeroom. And the regional order is expected to arrive in Port Kingston on August 8th. So we are in the process of getting the building materials for us to start with our repair and reconstruction phase of the relief effort as it relates to housing. Now, I must emphasize that the material will primarily serve for those in the northeastern and northwestern areas that were affected by the eruption of the La Sofre volcano. And this would aid them in returning home. As you are aware, there are still a number of folks in public shelters who have not yet been given the all clear to return to their homes. Now, through the Ministry of Housing, we will have to utilize these building materials and go about a rapid repair and reconstruction process. Now, I could say some of the folks who are still in the shelters, some may have not returned back to their homes, so they do not know exactly what level of damage that they are facing in regards to the home they evacuated from. However, through NEMO and the Ministry of Transport and Works, we have an update on the preliminary assessment, and thus far we have a total of 553 homes identified with some level of damage sustained. Now, they were graded on different levels, from level 0 right up to level 4. Now, through the Ministry of Housing, we were in discussion, and we would primarily concentrate on level 0 to 2, which are more of the smaller repairs and so on, and these would be done in a rapid manner in order for us to help with the reopening of schools. So those who sustain these small level of damage to their homes, through the Ministry of Housing, through our project, we will put together a team that could go out into the various zones and get contractors, and we would do these small repairs so that we can have some of the folks who are still in the public shelters to return back to their home once the all clear is given.